Well, greetings, friends, and welcome to the Gospel Underground Podcast. This is episode 169, Successes and Setbacks with Kids. Jesse, we got kids. We've probably had successes and setbacks. We are broadcasting live from us from the freezing cold tundra of Blacksburg, Virginia. Did you realize it's colder here than Omaha yesterday? I know that because my daughter lives there, Jesse. We're back in the shed quarters today. Jesse is wearing a controversial hat, perhaps.
Not at all. Not at all
it
controversial.
It says hail. I guess it's hail to the commanders.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us will always sing the old song.
Yes. Yes.
But it doesn't have to be controversial. It can just
that this, suspect.
This could be a beacon of unity around the magical season that the commanders are having. Six straight wins, five straight on the last play of the game. Come on, Reed.
Rookie quarterback.
Best rookie season ever.
Best rookie season ever. A hero forever until he sneaks next year.
Right? No, don't even speak that evil. Don't put that on him.
Oh, man, I grew up in Virginia, Jesse, a Pittsburgh Steelers fans, and all my neighbors were Skins fans, and I had to hear the – because they were actually good when I was a kid.
Right, yeah.
Remember
Riggins, 87, 91, Rigo, Theismann.
Theismann rhymes with Theismann or Heisman.
back in the day. Mark Rippon.
Doug Williams. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, the fun bunch. Actually, we had a wide receiver named Gary Clark that grew up right here.
Yeah,
well,
really?
not in Blacksburg, but nearby, Pulaski County.
How about it? Probably knew how to cook some good country barbecue from Pulaski County. Well, Jesse, football, NFL chat. Let's move into. We actually have something today.
It's not a review.
Yes, it's
We're
been
not
a while.
That into it, so sit right back.
It is time, Jesse.
It's time for review-ish.
We talk books and tech to movies and things, but don't care. We're not writing reviews here, Jesse. We're just doing review-ish, right? I've got a couple things I wanted to share, mainly because of the people that I'm watching a couple TV shows for. First one's a little obscure. People may or may not be aware of it. Probably some people are aware that Severance Season 2 is starting today.
Oh, that's right.
But my daughter, Kylene, physics and math major, she and I have really been enjoying this show called Silo on Apple TV Plus. It's the, what's her name? Rebecca Ferguson. Is kind of the starring role. And it's just weird. It's kind of a post-apocalyptic sci-fi thing. If you don't like that, give it a try. It's a human drama where people are living in like a 100-level or some 300-level concrete silo with its own politics, caste systems, secret stories, histories. It's just really, really, really good. And season two finale is tonight. Kai and I watched a lot of season two when she was home for Christmas.
You know, that's fun.
Your grown daughter leaning on your shoulder, watching TV, talking about, you know, kind of an intellectual show for us, at least thinking through, government, rule, who can you trust? What is the narrative kind of stuff? It's very apropos, perhaps, for whatever hopes and fears you have today.
And I'm a few episodes in. We paused it, but I will say in the first few episodes, the pacing was fantastic.
But it's slow, though.
It's slow, but basically you're sort of going, all right, I gotta watch the next one.
It is. It's almost like going up the spiral stairway in the silo.
In the silo.
Because it's the pacing. I love the pacing, too. That's one of my favorite things about the show. But you kind of learning little bits, and it's a deep mystery. You don't know. I mean, two seasons in, I don't even know what. I mean, it's new stuff all the time.
Ooh, yeah. So my wife Jenny does not like sci-fi, but she likes this show.
Oh,
so
we're paused
right now because we've got another show we're watching. But
my wife likes some sci-fi.
Okay,
not all of it. It gets too weird or something or violent. She's out. But Kylene and I, she likes all kinds of stuff like that. She's read The Silmarillion, which is really nerdy, kind of Tolkien's pre-world building Lord of the Rings stuff. Okay, so that's the first show that I want to recommend. Obviously, it's on Apple TV Plus. It's not like, you know, church choir show. It's probably got language that's not great. But the second show I want to recommend is, in my view, a perfect television show.
Is that right?
It's a perfect show, Jesse. It is set like in pre-World War II, post-World War I, and then during World War II England, in the Yorkshire Dales, where there's green grass and little cobblestone walls of rocks they pulled out of the field. And it's a story about a veterinary practice.
Okay.
And with just beautiful characters from a different time period. It's called All Creatures Great and Small. It is a perfect show. And if you don't, this is a perfect
show. I've been
looking
for a show to watch with my family.
You can watch this with your family. Okay. You can snuggle with your wife. It's just, you can do it for anything.
Okay.
Unless you have some hyper masculine, too much, I'm too much of a dude, I'm going to want to watch Mad Max or something, then this show's not for you. But you're probably a savage animal that doesn't have good taste. And look, when you show up, I will fight you to defend the world.
I was going to say, yeah. If you're recommending this, small, yeah. then I'm with it.
It's just people have integrity. They have a good sense of duty. It's funny.
Okay.
The characters are great. They add characters in and out successfully throughout. I think season 5 is finished. It's just out. You can get some back shows of this, I think, on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Yeah, where do you watch this?
I'm paying $5 a month to my local PBS Blue Ridge station.
Okay.
So I can get the PBS passport so we can watch it at the beginning of the calendar year when it comes out. It's very short season, 7 episodes. It ends with a Christmas episode every time because it's perfect. and I have a friend in England who, Brent Malcolm, shout out. Brent Malcolm will also attest, him and Tara, his wife, will attest that this is the perfect show.
Okay.
Because he starts texting me all fall because it's a BBC show.
So they get it ahead of us.
They watch it in the fall up to Happy Christmas or whatever they say over there. And then we get it here in January kind of thing. But they do drop all 7 at once, so it's a good date night kind of thing.
All right.
And it is a family show. It's got animals. You like animals. You like taking care of animals. If you like not worshiping animals but using them for the good of humanity, it's just a balanced view of that and a veterinary practice and quirky British humor and all kinds of words that we don't
all
use.
All right, I'm in. Yeah. I'm in.
I sold you.
I was going to do Mad Max, but now I'm just going to watch Fury Road on repeat, you know, but I'm in.
Oh, I'm persuaded you. Well, Jesse, it is interesting. You want to find things you can watch with your children.
Yeah.
Because story, right, is something that I believe, right, God gave us stories. He designs us to be formed by them, certainly the biblical narratives. And then other stories as well. Human cultures throughout have told stories, and they either concord with the good, the right, the true, and the beautiful, or they don't. And it's sometimes hard as a parent, right? I think we have an appointment with you and Jenny.
That's right.
On Saturday morning to discuss our successes and setbacks with kids and media and screens.
Yeah,
and
we're trying to sort out everything from probably more in line with like cell phones, you know, screen use, guidelines.
Yeah.
You know, now that our kids are old enough that, I want our older 2 kids to have a cell phone.
Yeah.
But there's some things that we're trying to figure out. Like, how do we do it well?
There are many dangers, toils, and snares to go through. Yeah.
But that includes like what shows to watch and
what to expose kids to.
Should I have my 7-year-old watch Fury Road with me?
No,
probably not.
Evil. Yeah. obviously we've talked last time on the podcast, parenting is in the borderlands.
Yeah.
This family is in the borderlands. And certainly you can over shelter a kid to where they pop and explode when they get exposed to the very least of media or technology or whatever. Or you can like dunk your kids in the world of evil and the cesspools that we have. And obviously kids can get pulled away into things.
Yeah.
And so these things are seriously. Jesse, this is fun for me because we talked about developing curiosity in kids last time. And we began by talking about how parenting, family, kids is very much in the borderlands because when kids are born, their primary shaping influence in relationships is with a very small group of people. And that grows naturally.
That's right.
Over time. And their exposure to various things in our cultural worlds that we live in grows over time. And so that could also mean the influence of things grows or, you know, certain things that you've trained and worked with your kids can be strong in them as they're strong in that as they walk in the world. I mean, for me, like, my youngest is 18. You know, he's getting college stuff in the mail and he's out in the summer, he's moving somewhere right. to study or whatever. And he makes his own choices now
yeah.
in terms of digital media use. Obviously, our network is locked down, and we can talk about that together. Or you can go back. We have an episode with Bob Thune and I debated smartphones. We can put it in the show notes.
That's right.
But, you know, once they get to a certain age, they're making their own choices. You
yeah.
know, Kayla lives in Omaha. She has her own apartment. She's doing whatever she wants, right?
And we've been thinking a lot lately about how the middle teen years, you know, shifting our mindset as parents who have kids that are just entering the middle teen years into the next few years, we have to train them for when they're not home. In other words, it's not yeah. like we keep controlling everything and we're this, that, and the other thing, and then they're 18 and suddenly they're going to figure it out.
That's
it's
right.
like, no, they're going to need right. some freedoms now. They're going to need to be able to make their own decisions.
Appropriate release from you guys.
That's right. Yeah. And appropriately able to make their own decisions and deal with their own consequences while they're still in the safety of home.
Yeah.
While they're still with guides and, you know,
where they can make mistakes, have a safe landing,
yeah.
but
yeah.
be able to make their mistakes. Yeah. And that's scary for all parents, because we all know that there's degrees of mistakes, right?
Yeah.
There's, oh, they made a mistake. And then there's, oh man.
And the older they get,
that's a ruinous thing.
That's right.
Yeah. yeah, yeah. I know it. And it really, Jesse, as we get to today's topic,
yeah.
You guys out there liked a lot this parenting and curiosity thing. We actually saw a spike in our numbers. You didn't like simulationism as much as you like how to develop your children. For those of you who are, because we have a lot of young adults who are just starting their families yeah. that listen. We have some older, you know, parents. We have some, you know, 20 somethings no kids who might have interest in that. And so I get it, man. It is a felt need. It's certainly one of the great joys of life as well in family. And so as they get older, right,
yeah.
you start letting them make choices. And then as a parent, you start feeling like, hey, stuff's happening to me. You know, with, you know, Kayla and I discussing you know, wedding invite list, and I can't invite a friend of mine if the numbers are all consumed. I'm like, what, this is just your party. You know, we were trying not to have a setback in our relationship on the phone last night. Shout out, Kayla, what's up? If you're listening, I'm paying for it. I can invite somebody. But obviously happy for her. But yeah. this is a popular quote from a football coach from Notre Dame, who's actually in the, not from Freeman, who's killing it in the national
That's
finals,
right.
playing the Buckeyes Go Bucks.
Old school Notre Dame.
The old school Notre Dame. Lou Holtz said this, very simple. It's probably an anecdote he got from someone else. Life is 10% what happens to you, and then 90% how you respond to it. And sometimes people interpret this thing as a quote that's encouraging passivity. Well, I'm just going to sit back and, you know, stuff happens to me, and then I just got to build my life off of that. I don't think that's what he's getting at. He's saying that when things do happen to us, right, we have a response for how we face those things.
Right.
What is our mindset into these things? And so, Jesse, I was talking to some of the guys on the Virginia Tech wrestling team who had a setback last week. They lost to my alma mater at Carolina. Everything went wrong. That could have went wrong in the dual. I'm still mad about it, so I'm not going to talk about that.
But
it was a setback.
Yep.
And this is not. It's important not to get caught up in this quote about the percentages. Well, no, life is 38%. What happens to you? No, we all have responses to things that come our way, either circumstantial, even in the natural world. Nobody's choosing to have their house on fire in LA right
yeah.
now, right? My in-laws did not choose to have 10 feet of water in their house, right? But when things happen, even from the natural world, from other people, with other people's choices, whether they're helpful or harmful happen, we do stand in our own shoes before God and how we respond
yeah.
to it. And so as a parent, you're going to have kids when they're little, when they're older, maybe when they're adults, who you're going to feel like you're having a setback as a parent. Like, I've blown it here. Things have not gone well. And then you're going to have times of successes. And so it's very easy, human beings, when we have successes, to get arrogant, to get complacent, to sit down and like, yeah, look what I did. My kids are doing great. And I think that's a big mistake. And so last time we did talk a little bit, you know, about, hey, you can build curiosity in kids. You can be successful in that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about both sides of that coin today, that we're going to face setbacks as we raise families. Now, Jesse, I don't know if you've had any successes or setbacks, but I don't know if you're vibing with that experience that you're going to have a little bit of both.
Yeah. So we've had successes and setbacks. This idea that like we're essentially we're not in complete control over everything. Really, it kind of helps in a couple ways. One is sometimes the setbacks are precisely because of how much control I have.
That's right.
You know,
if I'm
responding from a place of misplaced anger, or if I'm not attentive enough for me, I'm speaking about myself and some of the things that I'll just kind of float around and not pay enough attention. The very fact that I have some control can be a problem, but it's really helpful to remember that God's sovereign.
Yeah.
And a lot of our life as parents is responding situationally.
That's right. Situationally and relationally in moments, right? That arise. Amongst human beings who are sinful, who have tendencies that are both good and bad. And then we can, we all can be aloof and frustrate children. We all can get angry and exasperate them. And so this is the world we live in. So,
and I remember one thing connected to this. I remember earlier when our kids were younger, I remember how it sort of was like a light bulb went off at a certain point where I realized that when I was growing up, I really did think my parents knew everything.
Yeah.
I thought they were wrong a lot of the times.
Yeah.
But it was sort of like I had to come at it from a position of they're the experts in the field.
Yeah.
They always know what they're talking about.
Yeah, they've lived life.
And then when you become a parent, like now it's like, gosh, I really don't know what to do.
I know.
Like even in this situation, a lot of times it's like, did I do the right thing? I don't know.
Yeah. And the uncertainty with that is sometimes very hard for us, right?
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
And then your kids start knowing more than you, and they actually do in some field. And you're like, I don't know. You tell me. I don't know what that is. You tell me how to fix the lawnmower. Yeah, call Jesse.
Yeah.
Well, Jesse, we're just gonna drop three very basic principles. I think that as a parent, Jesse and I follow after Jesus in His way, acknowledging some very basic things in our hearts and minds before we hit a success or setback. Mm-hmm. Is very important. The first principle is this: God is God, right? We are not in control of everything. And so I love this passage in Isaiah 46. This actually was a passage that was in the Daily Liturgy I listened to this morning, the Daily Liturgy podcast from Coram Deo Church in Omaha, Nebraska. My daughter goes there now. It's weird. Mm. But can you read that for us, Isaiah 46?
Sure. Starting verse 8. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country, I have spoken, and I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it.
Okay. This is hard for us as parents because when little kids come in, you are pretty big in their life.
Yeah.
But there is no human being that could read that and say, hey, that applies to me. Now, some people might act like it. My purpose, I will accomplish all that I want in the world. God is God. And remembering our creatureliness, our dependence upon God, our lack of sovereignty of all things, that we're not controlling space, time, and history towards its proper design and ends, right? We're doing the best we can to serve and love our children, be good stewards of the calling of God in their lives as a dad or a mom. But we have to remember God is God, and outcomes, right, of life, they belong to Him.
Yeah.
I've probably said this in our marriage, 100 million times. I've said it to other people. What do you want your kids? It's like, I just want them to be found in the Lord.
Yeah.
At the end of their lives and be found in Him and exist in the kingdom of heaven forever with them. Everything else, right? I want their lives to count. I want them to worship God with their vocation. I mean, I privately want them to make dents in the darkness for the kingdom, like with who they are, skills and all that. But in the end, we don't control what they become. We invest, we influence, we care, we love. But this is that passage, right, that I think it was Jameis Winston from the Cleveland Browns quoted, and everybody, even on social media, non-Christians were like quoting this, because this is Proverbs 21:31. The horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory belongs to the Lord. And so that doesn't mean like, hey, if we get ready, we're going to have victory. It means no matter what we do, even if we do succeed, right, we're going to get the horse ready for the fight. We're going to prepare for our presentation at work. We're going to try to, if you're an athlete, you're going to try to work hard, be ready for the day of competition, like the skins, or the commander, are going to be ready. But ultimately, victory belongs to God. The outcomes of life belong to Him. And there's a sense of trust that can give parents confidence to know you're not in control. And we need to move to that ground, because there's also a sense knowing you're not in control, you'd be very afraid.
Afraid, right?
So my friend Brandon Slay, who's Olympic champion, my Olympic champion friend Brandon Slay, he's actually my friend. What's up, Brandon? The Pennsylvania Regional Training Center, he's a wrestling coach. He has this phrase for his program where he says, faith over fear. And I think that's a kind of mantra for their athletes there. When we look at the sovereignty of God, that God is control, the outcomes belong to, we need to know who God is, we can have faith, and faith can overcome fear, right? Being not in control. Principle two, believe it or not, it's hard for you. I've met a lot of people who really adopt principle one, but principle two, we really struggle with. Mm-hmm. Principle two is that not all things are good in this life, but God can work all things for the good of those who love Him. This is Romans 8:28. We know that God, for those who love God, all things work together for the good, for those who are called according to His purpose. This is a hard principle, especially if you're going through something very terrible, something that's suffering. And when I was a pastor, I would say, hey guys, I would counsel small group leaders and things like, hey guys, Romans 8:28 is the most central verse for suffering, I think, for anybody. But you don't get taught, you don't teach it for the first time when someone's in the midst of a deep one, right? Mm-hmm. When they're in deep pain. Mm-hmm. The scripture that guides us there is weep with those who weep, right? The God of all compassion might comfort us, and then we might comfort others with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. But when you're not in the midst of the deepest dark day, we need to know everything, absolutely everything is not good. The evil things of the world are evil. The good, the true, and the beautiful are such. But as we go into life, that all of that stuff in the swirl that it seems to be in our lives, God can work those things together for an outcome that we don't see, right? Mm. And then again, faith over fear. Mm-hmm. So first principle, God is God. We're not in control of everything. Second principle, not all things are good with our kids. It happened, right? But God can work all these things for the good. Keep the long game in your parenting mindset. Hey, we want them to, in the end, be with the Lord and us forever. Mm. And principle three, I said, hey, when you hit a success or you hit a setback, you focus your own heart with double G. Now, I was
D-O-double-G.
D-O-double-G. Yeah, double G. This is, I think, a memorable thing you can remember, double G, both for successes, both for setbacks. When you see good things go down, right? My son had a good thing go down yesterday for him. He got into another college.
Sweet.
And they offered him a whole lot of money.
Okay.
Which we all think is good, right?
Okay.
And so, we're still going to wait to hear from a couple at the end
of
this
month. Let's go, Tommy.
The big ones. But yeah, so Furman University in South Carolina, the Paladins came in pretty strong on his behalf for his successes in his academic pursuits. So when good things go down, our response, we lead with gratitude, right? What do we have that we did not receive is a question asked in Scripture, and gladness. Mm. Okay, so double G, gratitude and gladness.
I like that. Gratitude and gladness when things go well.
Mm. How about you read this?
Yeah, I'll give Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Mm.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Gratitude.
if we are forgiven, if we recover from a sickness, if we realize that we are hell-bound sinners and redeemed and saved by grace, who crowns us as heirs with Christ with his steadfast love and mercy, who allows you. This is such a gift, right, Jesse? I think Ecclesiastes said, who can be satisfied with his toil, right? This too is a gift from God. If you can be satisfied with your work, if we can be satisfied with good, right? Wow, we have a lot to be thankful for and to rejoice in, right? Yeah. Rejoice and be glad, for this is our God, right? Psalm 136 expresses, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, right? His steadfast love, his faithful, never stopping, never giving up love endures forever. He has not left us to our own. So in the successes, we realize we have every good thing comes down from the Father of lights, who does not change. It's Psalm 144:15. Read that for us.
Yeah, blessed are the people to whom such blessings fall. Blessed are the people whose God is the Lord.
Okay. Don't be afraid to receive good things from God. Sometimes, I don't know, I've watched sports in a certain way, like, oh, we're going to lose. It's going to go bad in the end, so I can be excited at the end when actually the Tar Heels do win or something in basketball, not wrestling.
Not wrestling.
So sometimes we can look at life that way. We're like almost too scared of what could come bad in life to be really thankful and happy or glad when we have good gifts.
Yeah, and sometimes we can be, especially people in my more kind of reformed-ish world, can be afraid to celebrate, afraid to have fun, take ourselves too seriously when there's a lot of celebration and gladness in the scriptures. The Psalms are full of laments.
That's right. That's right.
But also they're full of gladness.
That's right. And look, guys, this even can go down to your personality. Some of you have more ease and gratitude and in Thanksgiving. Some of you are very glum and very sober-minded. And, you know, both are good. And I think, you know, good friends, community will help us balance that. Certainly in the people that know you best, your wife and kids will know. And sometimes it's like, hey, you have to lean into gratitude. But on the days gratitude is hard, but hey, when the good things come, hey, just praise his name, right? He's worthy, he's good.
And you can celebrate without adding the doom.
That's right.
Like that's like what you were talking about when your team does well or whatever, and you're like, this is great, but it's probably all going to fall down next week. It's like, no, you could just celebrate.
That's right.
You know,
that's
you don't have to add that part that it really goes back to the fear.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to hurt less if I pre-mourn and pre-grieve and pre-worry.
That's right.
Or you can just be glad when there's a success.
And here's the hard thing. Theologically, I think I have to remind myself, we're so used to existing in a fallen condition, in a world under a curse, where sin and death and disease reign and evil doing, that we can think this is the natural state for the hearts of people, right? But it's an unnatural state we live in now. And the natural state of things is that all the bad things will come to an end.
Amen.
Right? And the glory that is to be revealed in the children of God is forever, right? So our natural state will be gratitude and gladness. But until then, we have setbacks.
What's the double G with the setbacks?
We have setbacks. So it's also double G. The first one's easy. It's also gratitude, right? But in setbacks.
That's James 1.
Yeah. Go ahead and read that.
We as a family, we're working on memorizing this in the fall. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect or complete, lacking in nothing.
Well, you almost got it. You're there, man, memorizing it. Yes, it's a great reminder. Count it joy when trials come, right? The gratitude piece is present for both, right? Maybe harder sometimes to thank God for setbacks. Or, Lord, thank you that I'm learning that I'm an angry person in my house, and that I need your grace to help me through that. You may start asking good questions when you blow it as a parent. Hey, what is in me, what has been developed in me over time that causes this eruption? Can I look at that? Can I grow in that? Can I get someone to help me with that, right? Without having to say, well, I got to muscle up more and fix it myself. God can help you. Wise counsel can help you in these things. But learning to be thankful. This is a command. That was like, these are imperatives in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, right? For this is the will of God for you. You know, that's a question we get asked all the time.
What's God's will?
People, yeah. And I asked it, what does God want me to do? What is God's will? There are these places in the scripture where it said, for this is the will of God for all y'all, right? And this is to give thanks in all circumstances. Yep. And so that is a discipline. You know, we try to develop it in our kids with our family prayer practice when we were all little and around the table when everybody was at home. Now it's like here, there, and yonder, our family. But, you know, we all would say, hey, God, we're thankful for this good thing. We're thankful for this hard thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then pray those things together. And a phrase I've used with my older kids now that they're, you know, when they're off of college struggling or having a hard day is you got to lean into gratitude in these hard days because it's not our... It's not our first
bent.
Voice.
That's yeah, right. It's not our bend. You know, and the beautiful thing about the New Testament and the Psalms, but I'm thinking in particular about the New Testament, but these passages is, you know when you get advice from somebody that hasn't suffered very much and you're just kind of like, okay,
yeah.
You know, if you tell me to be thankful when bad things happen, but like you've lived a charmed life.
That's right. That's Satan in the book of Job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he only likes you, God, because you give him everything.
That's right.
Family, money, yeah. Health. Man.
Yeah. But then you see the life of James or the life of Paul or the life of Jesus.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, these guys can help me to be grateful.
That's right.
I'm suffering.
That's right. And the second G for our double G here is gratitude and grit.
Mm.
Grit. I mean, there is no, you know, more gritty response where the Son of God come to the earth incarnate, knowing his mission, the Father calling him to be a human being, to go to a cross. He literally sweat drops of blood facing it, knowing this isn't what I choose for this day, but Father, not my will, but your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Then he endured the cross, this Hebrews 12, endured the cross, despising its shame. Look, he knew, I'm going to do this for the joy that was set before him, right? He was seeing his work being accomplished, the redemption of all things, including us, right?
Yeah.
So that he persevered in his calling and mission, died on the cross, and then the Father triumphantly vindicates him, raises him from the dead, right?
Yeah.
Man, that's Amen. Just gritty, gritty toughness. Like when people say Jesus, you know, he's kind of a soft, no. It's more gritty not to be to take vengeance, to take other people's wrath upon yourself, to pay a price for someone else, to extend love and mercy, right? And then for the obstinate who persist in their own evil way, then there will be gritty toughness at the end where God will judge the living and the dead, right?
Yeah.
Grit is an eternal kind of characteristic. The Bible uses the term perseverance.
Yeah.
The Old King James translation, long-suffering, right? To be able to stick at it when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be able to do that when we face setbacks as parents, because otherwise you'll either quit, you'll quit showing up, or you'll blow up on folks, or you'll check out. I'm tempted sometimes when my older kids say some nonsense. I'm like, oh, off you go, do whatever you got to do. That's not the right posture, right? It's no, I'm going to stick in this because I love, I'm responsible, I care. God has called me to this.
Amen. I've been thinking a lot about grit even before the show notes, even before we started talking about this, it's sort of a byproduct of working so hard. I'm talking specifically of our family, working so hard to create, you know, when Jenny and I got married and started having kids, we knew that one of those things that we wanted to focus on as a family was that we wanted our home to be a place of shalom, a place of peace. Wanted it to be a little like kind of in C.S. Lewis's use of the word joy, a little sort of place of joy where there's longing for heaven, but there's also a sense of belonging. So we
peeking into something eternal,
like an
outpost.
There's satisfaction, but there's also a dissatisfaction. I want more of this. I want to be drawn more into the kingdom. We've year after year working all these rhythms around this. This is going to be a place of safety and of and of adventure, a place of celebration and of, you know, long suffering together. We're trying to work all this out, but one of the things that comes out of that is there's less, potentially there could be less external suffering. Like my kids, their experience of home is just a little bit more peaceful, a lot more peaceful than mine was growing up. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
So I went into the winter going, all right, Lord, what can we do to help our kids have grit?
Yeah.
Specifically grit.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about it at home. We've been thinking through like, they have opportunities. Yeah. It's more about like seizing the opportunities, paying attention to the setbacks, not just immediately drawing them in and being like, let me re-safe you.
That's right. That's right. Get you safe again.
Let's actually stop for a minute. Let's explore what's going on here. Let's connect it to Christ and his grit.
Yeah.
So we've been talking about it some. My 7-year-old daughter, and even some of their dynamics together where I realized I would jump in real quick with my 7-year-old daughter to protect her from her siblings in ways that I wouldn't in the past with the boys in particular.
Right.
And I realized she's going to have to,
baby girl.
Yeah, she's going to have to actually learn to be tougher.
That's right.
She can't just the second, you know, she's, you know, teased a little bit, run to dad. And then I come in, I'm like, who do you know? So we've been talking about grit a lot. And the other day, maybe a couple weeks ago, I was like, hey, well, how would you define grit to my little daughter, Hattie? And she goes, she was casually like doing something. She said, moving through hard things.
Yeah.
I was like, that's pretty good. So anyway, I was just thinking about
incredible.
The challenges when you're trying to create a place of safety.
Yeah.
Especially as your kids are little.
Yeah.
To kind of go, wait a minute, I need to also, they've got to develop grit.
That's right. And sometimes life throws heavy balls at folks and they develop it that way. Sometimes you have to let them see it.
Yeah.
Right. Some principles for that is like, we wanted our kids to be responsible for their choices. So if they choose to join the chess club, or they choose to join the track team or whatever it is, you don't quit in the midseason. After that year in school, there are these natural breakpoints. You don't want to wrestle the next year. You don't have to. But you're dang sure not going to start something quit just because it got hard or you didn't like it for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You persevere through that. The other thing is learning not to rescue your kids.
Yeah.
This is something that sometimes you and your wife won't agree on. We had this 2 nights ago. Tommy started puking in the bathroom and we were watching All Creatures Great and Small, having a nice little cuddle, just doors open so we can hear Tommy puking, you know. And so I knew she was going to get up and go be mom like he was 4. And I'm thinking he's 18. He can wipe his own mouth. And we had a disagreement about it. Like, I'm like, what are you going to go do? Like, wipe his brow and hold his hair? I mean, he's 18. Let him deal with it. If he needs something, he'll tell us. And she's, of course, she thinks I'm a horrible, horrible human being. So she's out of the bed. It's like, rinse your mouth out with warm salt water. Like, he couldn't figure this out. I'm sure if his mouth gets stinky nasty, he's gonna rinse it out. But mom's got to be a mom, and she's wise and remind me, hey, we only got 6 months left with this dude. Let him be baby boy a little longer. He loves it. Of course, you like mom showing up, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes you don't rescue him, right? You got to let him figure it out. That's a common phrase in wrestling that wrestlers hate, but love is like when stuff's going bad. Hey, you got to figure it out. Like, I know that. I get my butt kicked. I got to figure it out.
That's the problem. Is like I can't figure it out.
That's right. Right. But so sometimes, well, you got to pray about it, and the Lord is a present help in a time of trouble. Doesn't mean mom and dad have to be right. Mm-hmm. Obviously, use wisdom to know what they need to be rescued from and what they don't. Obviously, Angela Duckworth written a popular book that you've read called Grit.
Grit, right? That's right. Grit, which is basically like, I mean, you could read it. It's fine. It's essentially
anecdotally true.
Yeah. It's essentially a bunch of research to support what we're saying, which is essentially like high talent individuals, super smart people. They can be high achievers, but they don't. They don't end up being high achievers just by nature of their talent, their skills, their smarts. It's the ones that have it in them to persevere, right? She talks about, here's a quote, overwhelmingly, the evidence show that those who accomplish great things generally combine passion with perseverance. Like, that makes sense.
Yeah, totally.
So it's really just a book supporting this idea that like, you know, if you're going to make it through the first semester at West Point, it's going to take more than just, you can do a lot of pushups.
Yeah. You got to be, I know in Navy SEAL training, they look for folks who learn to help each other, work as a team and can stay at it rather than just who's the loudest, toughest, strongest in the group. Because it's more than that. It's like the old adage that, hard work beats talent when talent won't work hard. That kind of thing. So our kids, Jesse, 23, 21, 18, got one, got engaged over the holidays. And look, all of them, every one of them have had heavy setbacks. Kayla had a brutal time. I think it's seventh grade, regulating her emotions, dealing with this other girl at her school. So many tears, so much uncertainty. In the middle of that stuff, you're like, man, is this going to be life?
Yeah.
Now with this, Kyleen just had her most difficult run in life this fall in college. She was dealing with heaviness, some depression. She broke her nose and nothing was good. Right. Mm. You gotta just walk through that, my son, man, from ages 2 to 4 or so, was just like, I thought we had the worst demon kid on earth. I mean, the kid, you couldn't leave him. He'd like go Rain Man, start headbutting the wall, screaming, like on launch day of our church plant. Like, we moved from our house church to mega house church to like in a hotel, right? We're renting it for a lot more money than $1,800 a month. And my son won't go in the kids' room, and he's like going crazy in the
hall, launch day.
On launch day. And so I'm literally got my mic'd up and stuff, and my wife can't deal with him, so I got to go deal with him. So I'm walking him going crazy into the bathroom to discipline him and then trying to get him back in the room without neglecting him, not loving him, being present with him. And I got to preach a launch sermon, which, if you're in a church planning, you think it's a big deal, right?
At the time,
it's not a big deal. You look back, but in the end, it's the biggest deal in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, man, we've had it. Our kids... complex, many variables at times. I love this quote. Now, you guys if you don't like David Goggins, he's got a what do you call it? A potty mouth.
Is this quote just who's going to carry the logs?
Who's going to carry the boat? Right? If you don't know who this is, you'll probably find a reel on Instagram. He'll be saying MF-er and all this stuff, and you'll probably
don't necessarily go down the rabbit hole.
But he wrote a book called Can't Hurt Me, Master Your Mind, Defy That. It's a great quote. And you add the gospel to the end of this, you got something. Whenever we get swept away by life's dramas, large and small, we are forgetting, don't forget this, that no matter how bad the pain gets, no matter how harrowing the torture, all bad things end. Mm. This is true.
Those four words, man.
This is true.
All bad things end.
This is true in the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If we know that our destiny is the kingdom of heaven where God's rule and reign is complete, all crying, dying, sinning, hating, killing, all of that will be judged and passed away in the new heavens and new earth where goodness and truth is the natural state for people.
Amen. Right?
We can persevere through anything. When your kids suffer, remain present. Love well. Get them the help they need. Outside help, sometimes counselors give it. But don't solve all their problems with them. Give each other a lot of grace as parents and do the best we can. Jesse, I want to give you the last word. Read us the big why. Mm. Why all this? What is the foundation for all this from the book of Romans?
Mm, I'll read this. Let me throw one last lesson that I've learned is in appropriate ways, let them see you have grit. Let them see your struggle. So your celebrations and your struggles, because at the end of the day, like, there's the training aspect, but they're going to learn watching. So,
yeah.
And a lot of parents try to basically create a wall where the kids never see any struggles.
That's
right. And it's like, well, mom and dad are just perfect. Everything goes well for them.
That's right. And this is a marriage tip on the parenting podcast today. You and your wife or you and your husband may have different views on what they should see and what they should not see. And that's a gift from God for you to work out with your marriage. You might want to encourage your spouse to, hey, share a little bit more of your heart and your struggle. Or you might
that's
hear,
a little much.
Hey, that's a little much. You don't need to talk to them about that.
Yeah, especially age specific with your kids.
Right.
You know, they don't need to. They do need a place of safety. But
that's right. Amen.
All right. This is from Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us.
Amen, Jesse. Double G on the gratitude and gladness. Gratitude and grit both are existing with us through this life, mm-hmm. but hope, right? We have the love of God poured into our hearts, and hope does not disappoint us. Mm-hmm. And hope, parenting, man, is a hope operation. The Gospel Amen. Underground, Jesse, is a podcast that we do together. I'm glad we're back here together. At least once a month-ish, sometimes twice a month. Review us on Spotify, iTunes. We love 5 stars. Send your comics feedback to us, or questions you'd like for us to take up here on the Underground. We talk about everything. Simulationalism, man being a dad. To info@gospelunderground.org. We are dialogue taking place in the borderlands between the church and culture. And we really want you to live there, serve there, be on mission there for the glory of his name. Thanks, guys.
Peace.